Unsurpassable, translated by Bhikkhu Sujato. At Sama village. At one time, the Buddha was staying in the land of the Sakyans, near the little village of Sama, by a lotus pond. Then, late at night, a glorious deity, lighting up the entire lotus pond, went up to the Buddha, bowed, stood to one side and said to him, "Sir, three qualities lead to the decline of a mendicant. What three?" "Relishing work, talk, and sleep. These three qualities lead to the decline of a mendicant." That's what that deity said, and the teacher approved. Then that deity, knowing that the teacher approved, bowed and respectfully circled the Buddha, keeping him on his right, before vanishing right there. Then, when the night had passed, the Buddha told the mendicants all that had happened, adding, "It's unfortunate for those of you who even the deities know are declining in skillful qualities. I will teach you three more qualities that lead to decline. Listen and pay close attention. I will speak." "Yes, sir," they replied. The Buddha said this. "And what, mendicants, are three qualities that lead to decline? Enjoyment of company, being hard to admonish, and having bad friends. These three qualities lead to decline. Whether in the past, future, or present, all those who decline in skillful qualities do so because of these six qualities." Non-decline. Mendicants, I will teach you these six principles that prevent decline. And what, mendicant, are the six principles that prevent decline? Not relishing work, talk, sleep, and company, being easy to admonish, and having good friends. These six qualities prevent decline. Whether in the past, future, or present, all those who have not declined in skillful qualities do so because of these six qualities. Dangers. Danger, mendicants, is a term for sensual pleasures. Suffering, disease, boil, snare, and bog are terms for sensual pleasures. And why is danger a term for sensual pleasures? Someone who is besotted by sensual greed and shackled by lustful desire is not freed from dangers in the present life or in lives to come. That is why danger is a term for sensual pleasures. And why are suffering, disease, boil, snare, and bog terms for sensual pleasures? Someone who is besotted by sensual greed and shackled by lustful desire is not freed from suffering, disease, boils, chains, or bogs in the present life or in lives to come. That is why these are terms for sensual pleasures. Danger, suffering, disease, boils, and snares and bogs both. These describe the sensual pleasures to which ordinary people are attached. Seeing the danger in grasping the origin of birth and death, the unattached are freed with the ending of birth and death. Happy they've come to a safe place, extinguished in this very life. They've gone beyond all threats and dangers and risen above all suffering. The Himalaya. Mendicants. A mendicant who has six qualities could shatter Himalaya, the king of mountains, let alone this wretched ignorance. What six? It's when a mendicant is skilled in entering immersion, skilled in remaining in immersion, skilled in emerging from immersion, skilled in gladdening the mind for immersion, skilled in the meditation subjects for immersion, and skilled in projecting the mind purified by immersion. A mendicant who has these six qualities could shatter Himalaya, the king of mountains, let alone this wretched ignorance. Topics for recollection. Mendicants, there are these six topics for recollection. What six? Firstly, a noble disciple recollects the realized one. That blessed one is perfected, a fully awakened Buddha, accomplished in knowledge and conduct, holy, knower of the world, supreme guide for those who wish to train, teacher of gods and humans, awakened, blessed. When a noble disciple recollects the realized one, their mind is not full of greed, hate, and delusion. At that time, their mind is unswerving. They've left behind greed. They're free of it and have risen above it. Greed is a term for the five kinds of sensual stimulation. Relying on this, some sentient beings are purified in this way. Furthermore, a noble disciple recollects the teaching. The teaching is well explained by the Buddha, apparent in the present life, immediately effective, inviting inspection, relevant, so that sensible people can know it for themselves. When a noble disciple recollects the teaching, their mind is not full of greed, hate, and delusion. At that time, their mind is unswerving. They've left behind greed, they're free of it, and have risen above it. Greed is a term for the five kinds of sensual stimulation. Relying on this, some sentient beings are purified in this way. Furthermore, a noble disciple recollects the Sangha. The Sangha of the Buddha's disciples is practicing the way that's good, direct, systematic, and proper. It consists of the four pairs, the eight individuals. This is the Sangha of the Buddha's disciples that is worthy of offerings dedicated to the gods, worthy of hospitality, worthy of a religious donation, worthy of greeting with joined palms, and is the supreme field of merit for the world. When a noble disciple recollects the Sangha, their mind is not full of greed, hate, and delusion. At that time, their mind is unswerving. They've left behind greed, they're free of it, and have risen above it. Greed is a term for the five kinds of sensual stimulation. Relying on this, some sentient beings are purified in this way. Furthermore, a noble disciple recollects their own ethical precepts, which are unbroken, impeccable, spotless, and unmarred, liberating, praised by sensible people, not mistaken and leading to immersion. When a noble disciple recollects their ethical precepts, their mind is not full of greed, hate, and delusion. At that time, their mind is unswerving. They've left behind greed, they're free of it, and have risen above it. Greed is a term for the five kinds of sensual stimulation. Relying on this, some sentient beings are purified in this way. Furthermore, a noble disciple recollects their own generosity. I am so fortunate, so very fortunate. Among people full of the stain of stinginess, I live at home rid of the stain of stinginess, freely generous, open-handed, loving to let go, committed to charity, loving to give and to share. When a noble disciple recollects their generosity, their mind is not full of greed, hate, and delusion. At that time, their mind is unswerving. They've left behind greed, they're free of it, and have risen above it. Greed is a term for the five kinds of sensual stimulation. Relying on this, some sentient beings are purified in this way. Furthermore, a noble disciple recollects the deities. There are the gods of the four great kings, the gods of the 33, the gods of Yama, the joyful gods, the gods who love to create, the gods who control the creations of others, the gods of Brahma's host, and gods even higher than these. When those deities passed away from here, they were reborn there because of their faith, ethics, learning, generosity, and wisdom. I, too, have the same kind of faith, ethics, learning, generosity, and wisdom. When a noble disciple recollects the faith, ethics, learning, generosity, and wisdom of both themselves and the deities, their mind is not full of greed, hate, and delusion. At that time, their mind is unswerving. They've left behind greed, they're free of it, and have risen above it. Greed is a term for the five kinds of sensual stimulation. Relying on this, some sentient beings are purified in this way. These are the six topics for recollection. with Mahakachana. There Mahakachana addressed the mendicants. "Reverends, mendicants." "Reverend," they replied. Venerable Mahakachana said this: "It's incredible, reverends. It's amazing how this blessed one who knows and sees the perfected one, the fully awakened Buddha, has found an opportunity amid confinement." That is, the six topics for recollection. They are in order to purify sentient beings, to get past sorrow and crying, to make an end of pain and sadness, to discover the system, and to realize extinguishment. What six? Firstly, a noble disciple recollects the realized one. That blessed one is perfected, a fully awakened Buddha, accomplished in knowledge and conduct, holy, knower of the world, supreme guide for those who wish to train, teacher of gods and humans, awakened, blessed. When a noble disciple recollects the realized one, their mind is not full of greed, hate, and delusion. At that time, their mind is unswerving. They've left behind greed, they're free of it, and have risen above it. Greed is a term for the five kinds of sensual stimulation. That noble disciple meditates with a heart just like space, abundant, expansive, limitless, free of enmity and ill will. Relying on this, some sentient beings become pure in this way. Furthermore, a noble disciple recollects the teaching. The teaching is well explained by the Buddha, apparent in the present life, immediately effective, inviting inspection, relevant, so that sensible people can know it for themselves. When a noble disciple recollects the teaching, their mind is not full of greed, hate, and delusion. At that time, their mind is unswerving. They've left behind greed, they're free of it, and have risen above it. Greed is a term for the five kinds of sensual stimulation. That noble disciple meditates with a heart just like space, abundant, expansive, limitless, free of enmity and ill will. Relying on this, some sentient beings become pure in this way. Furthermore, a noble disciple recollects the Sangha. The Sangha of the Buddha's disciples is practicing the way that's good, direct, systematic and proper. It consists of the four pairs, the eight individuals. This is the Sangha of the Buddha's disciples that is worthy of offerings dedicated to the gods, worthy of hospitality, worthy of a religious donation, worthy of greeting with joined palms, and is the supreme field of merit for the world. When a noble disciple recollects the Sangha, their mind is not full of greed, hate, and delusion. At that time, their mind is unswerving. They've left behind greed, they're free of it, and have risen above it. Greed is a term for the five kinds of sensual stimulation. That noble disciple meditates with a heart just like space, abundant, expansive, limitless, free of enmity and ill will. Relying on this, some sentient beings become pure in this way. Furthermore, a noble disciple recollects their own ethical precepts, which are unbroken, impeccable, spotless, and unmarred, liberating, praised by sensible people, not mistaken, and leading to immersion. When a noble disciple recollects their ethical precepts, their mind is not full of greed, hate, and delusion. At that time, their mind is unswerving. They've left behind greed. They're free of it and have risen above it. Greed is a term for the five kinds of sensual stimulation. That noble disciple meditates with a heart just like space, abundant, expansive, limitless, free of enmity and ill will. Relying on this, some sentient beings become pure in this way. Furthermore, a noble disciple recollects their own generosity. "I'm so fortunate, so very fortunate. Among people full of the stain of stinginess, I live at home rid of the stain of stinginess, freely generous, open-handed, loving to let go, committed to charity, loving to give and to share." When a noble disciple recollects their own generosity, their mind is not full of greed, hate, and delusion. At that time, their mind is unswerving. They've left behind greed, they're free of it, and have risen above it. Greed is a term for the five kinds of sensual stimulation. That noble disciple meditates with a heart just like space, abundant, expansive, limitless, free of enmity and ill will. Relying on this, some sentient beings become pure in this way. Furthermore, a noble disciple recollects the deities. There are the gods of the four great kings, the gods of the 33, the gods of Yama, the joyful gods, the gods who love to create, the gods who control the creations of others, the gods of Brahma's host, and gods even higher than these. When those deities passed away from here, they were reborn there because of their faith, ethics, learning, generosity, and wisdom. I, too, have the same kind of faith, ethics, learning, generosity, and wisdom. When a noble disciple recollects the faith, ethics, learning, generosity, and wisdom of both themselves and the deities, their mind is not full of greed, hate, and delusion. At that time, their mind is unswerving. They've left behind greed, they're free of it, and have risen above it. Greed is a term for the five kinds of sensual stimulation. That noble disciple meditates with a heart just like space, abundant, expansive, limitless, free of enmity and ill will. Relying on this, some sentient beings become pure in this way. It's incredible, reverence. It's amazing how this blessed one who knows and sees, the perfected one, the fully awakened Buddha, has found an opportunity amid confinement, that is, the six topics for recollection. They are in order to purify sentient beings, to get past sorrow and crying, to make an end of pain and sadness, to discover the system, and to realize extinguishment. Proper occasions. First. Then a mendicant went up to the Buddha, bowed, sat down to one side, and said to him, "Sir, how many occasions are there for going to see an esteemed mendicant?" Mendicant, "There are six occasions for going to see an esteemed mendicant." "What six?" "Firstly, there's a time when a mendicant's heart is overcome and mired in sensual desire, and they don't truly understand the escape from sensual desire that has arisen. On that occasion, they should go to an esteemed mendicant and say, 'My heart is overcome and mired in sensual desire, and I don't truly understand the escape from sensual desire that has arisen. Venerable, please teach me how to give up sensual desire.' Then that esteemed mendicant teaches them how to give up sensual desire. This is the first occasion for going to see an esteemed mendicant. Furthermore, there's a time when a mendicant's heart is overcome and mired in ill will, and they don't truly understand the escape from ill will that has arisen. This is the second occasion for going to see an esteemed mendicant. Furthermore, there's a time when a mendicant's heart is overcome and mired in dullness and drowsiness, and they don't truly understand the escape from dullness and drowsiness that has arisen. This is the third occasion for going to see an esteemed mendicant. Furthermore, there's a time when a mendicant's heart is overcome and mired in restlessness and remorse, and they don't truly understand the escape from restlessness and remorse that has arisen. This is the fourth occasion for going to see an esteemed mendicant. Furthermore, there's a time when a mendicant's heart is overcome and mired in doubt, and they don't truly understand the escape from doubt that has arisen. This is the fifth occasion for going to see an esteemed mendicant. Furthermore, there's a time when a mendicant doesn't understand what kind of meditation they need to focus on in order to end the defilements in the present life. On that occasion, they should go to an esteemed mendicant and say, 'I don't understand what kind of meditation to focus on in order to end the defilements in the present life. Venerable, please teach me how to end the defilements.' Then that esteemed mendicant teaches them how to end the defilements. This is the sixth occasion for going to see an esteemed mendicant. These are the six occasions for going to see an esteemed mendicant. proper occasions, second. At one time, several senior mendicants were staying near Varanasi, in the deer park at Isipatana. Then, after the meal, on their return from alms round, this discussion came up among them while sitting together in the pavilion. Reverends, how many occasions are there for going to see an esteemed mendicant? When this was said, one of the mendicants said to the senior mendicants, Reverends, there's a time after an esteemed mendicant's meal when they return from alms round. Having washed their feet, they sit down cross-legged, set their body straight, and establish mindfulness in front of them. That is the proper occasion for going to see an esteemed mendicant. When this was said, one of the mendicants said to that mendicant, Reverence, that's not the proper occasion for going to see an esteemed mendicant, for at that time the fatigue from walking and from eating has not faded away. There's a time, late in the afternoon, when an esteemed mendicant comes out of retreat. They sit cross-legged in the shade of their porch, set their body straight, and establish mindfulness in front of them. That is the proper occasion for going to see an esteemed mendicant. When this was said, one of the mendicants said to that mendicant, Reverend, that's not the proper occasion for going to see an esteemed mendicant, for at that time they are still practicing the same meditation subject as a foundation of immersion that they focused on during the day. There's a time when an esteemed mendicant has risen at the crack of dawn. They sit down cross-legged, set their body straight, and establish mindfulness in front of them. That is the proper occasion for going to see an esteemed mendicant. When this was said, one of the mendicants said to that mendicant, Reverend, that's not the proper occasion for going to see an esteemed mendicant, for at that time their body is full of vitality, and they find it easy to focus on the instructions of the Buddhas. When this was said, Venerable Mahakajana said to those senior mendicants, Reverence, I have heard and learned this in the presence of the Buddha. Mendicants, there are six occasions for going to see an esteemed mendicant. What six? Firstly, there's a time when a mendicant's heart is overcome and mired in sensual desire, and they don't truly understand the escape from sensual desire that has arisen. On that occasion, they should go to an esteemed mendicant and say, My heart is overcome and mired in sensual desire, and I don't truly understand the escape from sensual desire that has arisen. Venerable, please teach me how to give up sensual desire. Then that esteemed mendicant teaches them how to give up sensual desire. This is the first occasion for going to see an esteemed mendicant. Furthermore, there's a time when a mendicant's heart is overcome and mired in ill will, and they don't truly understand the escape from ill will that has arisen. On that occasion, they should go to an esteemed mendicant and say, My heart is overcome and mired in ill will, and I don't truly understand the escape from ill will that has arisen. Venerable, please teach me how to give up ill will. Then that esteemed mendicant teaches them how to give up ill will. This is the second occasion for going to see an esteemed mendicant. Furthermore, there's a time when a mendicant's heart is overcome and mired in dullness and drowsiness, and they don't truly understand the escape from dullness and drowsiness that has arisen. On that occasion, they should go to an esteemed mendicant and say, My heart is overcome and mired in dullness and drowsiness, and I don't truly understand the escape from dullness and drowsiness that has arisen. Venerable, please teach me how to give up dullness and drowsiness. Then that esteemed mendicant teaches them how to give up dullness and drowsiness. This is the third occasion for going to see an esteemed mendicant. Furthermore, there's a time when a mendicant's heart is overcome and mired in restlessness and remorse, and they don't truly understand the escape from restlessness and remorse that has arisen. On that occasion, they should go to an esteemed mendicant and say, My heart is overcome and mired in restlessness and remorse, and I don't truly understand the escape from restlessness and remorse that has arisen. Venerable, please teach me how to give up restlessness and remorse. then that esteemed mendicant teaches them how to give up restlessness and remorse. This is the fourth occasion for going to see an esteemed mendicant. Furthermore, there's a time when a mendicant's heart is overcome and mired in doubt, and they don't truly understand the escape from doubt that has arisen. On that occasion, they should go to an esteemed mendicant and say, "My heart is overcome and mired in doubt, and I don't truly understand the escape from doubt that has arisen. Venerable, please teach me how to give up doubt." Then that esteemed mendicant teaches them how to give up doubt. This is the fifth occasion for going to see an esteemed mendicant. Furthermore, there's a time when a mendicant doesn't understand what kind of meditation they need to focus on in order to end the defilements in the present life. On that occasion, they should go to an esteemed mendicant and say, "I don't understand what kind of meditation to focus on in order to end the defilements in the present life. Venerable, please teach me how to end the defilements." Then that esteemed mendicant teaches them how to end the defilements. This is the sixth occasion for going to see an esteemed mendicant. Reverends, I have heard and learned this in the presence of the Buddha. These are the six occasions for going to see an esteemed mendicant. With Udayi. Then the Buddha said to Udayi, "Udayi, how many topics for recollection are there?" When he said this, Udayi kept silent. And a second time, and a third time, the Buddha said to him, "Udayi, how many topics for recollection are there?" And a second time, and a third time, Udayi kept silent. Then Venerable Ananda said to Venerable Udayi, "Reverend Udayi, the teacher is addressing you." "Reverend Ananda, I hear the Buddha." "It's when a mendicant recollects many kinds of past lives, that is, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 100, 1,000, 100,000 rebirths, many aeons of the world contracting, many aeons of the world expanding, many aeons of the world contracting and expanding. They remember, "There I was named this, my clan was that, I looked like this and that was my food. This was how I felt pleasure and pain, and that was how my life ended. When I passed away from that place, I was reborn somewhere else. There too I was named this, my clan was that, I looked like this, and that was my food. This was how I felt pleasure and pain, and that was how my life ended. When I passed away from that place, I was reborn here." And so they recollect their many kinds of past lives with features and details. This is a topic for recollection. Then the Buddha said to Venerable Ananda, "Ananda, I know that this silly man, Udayi, is not committed to the higher mind. Ananda, how many topics for recollection are there?" "Sir, there are 5 topics for recollection." "What 5? "Firstly, a mendicant, quite secluded from sensual pleasures, secluded from unskillful qualities, enters and remains in the first absorption, second absorption, third absorption. When this topic of recollection is developed and cultivated in this way, it leads to blissful meditation in this very life. Furthermore, a mendicant focuses on the perception of light, concentrating on the perception of day, regarding of whether it's night or day. And so, with an open and unenveloped heart, they develop a mind that's full of radiance. When this topic of recollection is developed and cultivated in this way, it leads to knowledge and vision. Furthermore, a mendicant examines their own body up from the soles of the feet and down from the tips of the hairs, wrapped in skin and full of many kinds of filth. In this body there is head hair, body hair, nails, teeth, skin, flesh, sinews, bones, bone marrow, kidneys, heart, liver, diaphragm, spleen, lungs, intestines, mesentery, undigested food, feces, bile, phlegm, pus, blood, sweat, fat, tears, grease, saliva, snot, synovial fluid, urine. When this topic of recollection is developed and cultivated in this way, it leads to giving up sensual desire. Furthermore, suppose a mendicant were to see a corpse thrown in a charnel ground, and it had been dead for 1, 2, or 3 days, bloated, livid, and festering. They'd compare it with their own body. This body is also of that same nature, that same kind, and cannot go beyond that. Or suppose they were to see a corpse thrown in a charnel ground, being devoured by crows, hawks, vultures, dogs, jackals, and many kinds of little creatures. They'd compare it with their own body. This body is also of that same nature, that same kind, and cannot go beyond that. Furthermore, suppose they were to see a corpse thrown in a charnel ground, a skeleton with flesh and blood held together by sinews, a skeleton without flesh but smeared with blood and held together by sinews, a skeleton rid of flesh and blood held together by sinews, bones rid of sinews scattered in every direction, here a hand bone, there a foot bone, here a shin bone, there a thigh bone, here a hip bone, there a rib bone, here a back bone, there an arm bone, here a neck bone, there a jaw bone, here a tooth, there the skull, white bones the colour of shells, decrepit bones heaped in a pile, bones rotted and crumbled to powder. They'd compare it with their own body. This body is also of that same nature, that same kind, and cannot go beyond that. When this topic of recollection is developed and cultivated in this way, it leads to uprooting the conceit, I am. Furthermore, a mendicant giving up pleasure and pain, and ending former happiness and sadness, enters and remains in the fourth absorption, without pleasure or pain, with pure equanimity and mindfulness. When this topic of recollection is developed and cultivated in this way, it leads to the penetration of many elements. These are the 5 topics for recollection. Good. Good, Ananda. Well then, Ananda, you should also remember this 6th topic for recollection. In this case, a mendicant goes out mindfully, returns mindfully, stands mindfully, sits mindfully, lies down mindfully, and applies themselves to work mindfully. When this topic of recollection is developed and cultivated in this way, it leads to mindfulness and situational awareness. Unsurpassable. Mendicants, these 6 things are unsurpassable. What 6? The unsurpassable seeing, listening, acquisition, training, service, and recollection. And what is the unsurpassable seeing? Some people go to see an elephant treasure, a horse treasure, a jewel treasure, or a diverse spectrum of sights, or ascetics and Brahmins of wrong view and wrong practice. There is such a seeing, I don't deny it. That seeing is low, crude, ordinary, ignoble, and pointless. It doesn't lead to disillusionment, dispassion, cessation, peace, insight, awakening, and extinguishment. The unsurpassable seeing is when someone with settled faith and love, sure and devoted, goes to see a realized one or their disciple. This is in order to purify sentient beings, to get past sorrow and crying, to make an end of pain and sadness, to discover the system, and to realize extinguishment. This is called the unsurpassable seeing. Such is the unsurpassable seeing. But what of the unsurpassable hearing? Some people go to hear the sound of drums, arched harps, singing, or a diverse spectrum of sounds, or ascetics and Brahmins of wrong view and wrong practice. There is such a hearing, I don't deny it. That hearing doesn't lead to extinguishment. The unsurpassable hearing is when someone with settled faith and love, sure and devoted, goes to hear the teaching of a realized one or one of his disciples. This is called the unsurpassable hearing. Such is the unsurpassable seeing and hearing. But what of the unsurpassable acquisition? Some people acquire a child, a wife, wealth, or a diverse spectrum of things, or they acquire faith in an ascetic or Brahmin of wrong view and wrong practice. There is such an acquisition, I don't deny it. That acquisition doesn't lead to extinguishment. The unsurpassable acquisition is when someone with settled faith and love, sure and devoted, acquires faith in a realized one or their disciple. This is called the unsurpassable acquisition. Such is the unsurpassable seeing, hearing, and acquisition. But what of the unsurpassable training? Some people train in elephant riding, horse riding, chariot driving, archery, swordsmanship, or a diverse spectrum of things, or they train under an ascetic or Brahmin of wrong view and wrong practice. There is such a training, I don't deny it. That training doesn't lead to extinguishment. The unsurpassable training is when someone with settled faith and love, sure and devoted, trains in the higher ethics, the higher mind, and the higher wisdom in the teaching and training proclaimed by the realized one. This is called the unsurpassable training. Such is the unsurpassable seeing, hearing, acquisition, and training. But what of the unsurpassable service? Some people serve an aristocrat, a Brahmin, a householder, or a diverse spectrum of people, or they serve ascetics and Brahmins of wrong view and wrong practice. There is such a service, I don't deny it. That service doesn't lead to extinguishment. The unsurpassable service is when someone with settled faith and love, sure and devoted, serves a realized one or their disciple. This is called the unsurpassable service. Such is the unsurpassable seeing, listening, acquisition, training, and service. But what of the unsurpassable recollection? Some people recollect a child, a wife, wealth, or a diverse spectrum of things, or they recollect an ascetic or Brahmin of wrong view and wrong practice. There is such a recollection, I don't deny it. That recollection is low, crude, ordinary, ignoble, and pointless. It doesn't lead to disillusionment, dispassion, cessation, peace, insight, awakening, and extinguishment. The unsurpassable recollection is when someone with settled faith and love, sure and devoted, recollects a realized one or their disciple. This is called the unsurpassable recollection. These are the six unsurpassable things. They've gained the unsurpassed seeing, the unsurpassed hearing, and the unsurpassable acquisition. They enjoy the unsurpassable training and serve with care. Then they develop recollection connected with seclusion, which is safe and leads to the deathless. They rejoice in diligence, alert and ethically restrained, and in time they arrive at the place where suffering ceases.